I don't consider myself any sort of iconic prognosticator. I do make some good predictions once in a while, but I also make some bad ones. And I think I've made the worst NFL predictions for this season, maybe in the history of this town and maybe in the history of the United States of America. I went back and looked at this, and it's absolutely horrifying. Now, I did have the Steelers. What did you have the Steelers at going in?
I had 10-7 and making a wild card spot.
And you're changing that to what?
11-6. And still, and I'm not going to say they're going to win the division at this point, but I think needle is a lot closer with Baltimore.
You're not saying they're, but you said Cincinnati.
I said Cincinnati.
So you've changed from Cincinnati, but not to Pittsburgh?
I'm changing right now to Baltimore.
Well, what? What have you seen that makes you think Baltimore, not the Steelers, should take over for Cincinnati? You've gone nuts.
Yeah. I like Baltimore's end-of-year schedule more so than I like the Steelers' end-of-year schedule, too. And even though I still think Lamar and the Ravens against the Steelers are not a superior team, so it might make a lot of sense that you're saying, I mean, that makes no sense what Austin's saying. Why would he possibly think that the Ravens are going to win the division?
No. I get why someone would pick the Ravens, but if I had originally picked the Bengals, which I did too, and I was going to take them out and put somebody in, I would take the team that's three games ahead of them and two games ahead of the Raven. Like, what have you seen from the Ravens that makes you say, oh, suddenly I'm going to pick them over the Bengals?
Well, it's the historical factor of what Baltimore has typically done.
Well, why didn't you pick them in the first place?
So I thought Cincinnati was better than them. But 0-3 is so hard to come back from.
All right. Well, your predictions weren't nearly as bad as mine.
They were close.
Listen to this. Listen to this from the beginning of the year. This is horrifying. It's almost impressive what I've done here. Steelers record 10-7. This is at the Post Gazette. You can see all the PG writers' predictions. Steelers MVP for the season, Russell Wilson.
Great start, Joe. At least I didn't say that.
Steelers rookie of the year, Zach Frazier. That was a good pick.
Yeah, that's a good
wasn't
pick.
It? Boy, is he good.
Look, how about my pick? Roman Wilson. That's gone over
well. You still could get some traction.
I think
that.
So.
Who knows?
But a healthy scratch last week.
It's amazing what you can see. I went through the game. I woke up at 4:30 today. I often wake up having to pee and couldn't get back to sleep. So I said, I'm going to go back through the Steelers game again and just watch Zach Frazier. And in the second half, that dude was like plowing people into the ground, taking guys 10 yards downfield, blocking one guy, shedding him, and getting to the second level, as they say. He's unbelievable. You ready for these predictions, Limits? AFC North champion, Bengals.
That's what I had.
AFC South champion, Jaguars. Did you have that?
Yes, I did.
Do we share our shame?
Yes, we do. I just cannot believe how bad Trevor Lawrence is playing. And it's more so the offense around him, too. Doug Peterson, goodbye. You can't bring him back after this season. You might not be able to bring him back after week 10.
You might not be able to bring him back for practice today. I mean, seriously, that's the type of game that gets somebody fired three games in. 40-10. What was the score? 40-10?
I think it was 37-10. Regardless. Yeah. Beatdown.
And then I had the Jets and Chiefs, which I'm okay with. The wild cards, Steelers, Ravens, and Texans. You know, I should get most of the playoff teams right. My NFL MVP, Jordan Love. My coach of the year, Zach Taylor.
Nice.
What was I doing? What was I thinking?
I at least picked D'Amico Ryans. He's looking okay right now.
My offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. My rookie of the year, Caleb Williams. This is the worst collection of predictions any person has ever made on any sport at any point in this country's history.
Well, you could have had the Browns winning the North.
That would actually be preferable to the Bengals right now. They're a game ahead of the Bengals. Anyways, I'm deeply ashamed of that. Are we getting ahead of ourselves with the Steelers? Let's go to the lines. 412-928-9370, the final Derek Shelton show at the top of the hour. You want to text in something, a legitimate question. I'm not asking this on X anymore. because the questions that come in are ridiculous and couldn't be asked, and it's just a fusillade of stupid insults and questions.
Yes, the text line is ripping me for saying that the Steelers repeatedly beat the Ravens like a rented mule and are two games ahead of them, and think that the Ravens, who are two games behind, are able to come back and win the division. Yeah, okay. Pathetic limits, the text line said.
Well, you know, I'm not discounting the Ravens from winning the division. I just didn't understand your logic in removing the Bengals from your preseason prediction and inserting the Ravens over the Steelers as the team you now think will win it. The Ravens are a whisker from 0-3 and coming off an epic fourth quarter meltdown against Dallas. Like, I hardly think that they're fixed at this point. I just didn't understand your logic. That's all. But you explained it. Can we go to the lines?
Yes, here's Roger and Apollo.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good. What's on your mind?
Was just wondering what your take was on Broderick Jones' performance on Sunday. I didn't hear his name a lot, which is always a good thing, but I just wanted to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, man. He showed a lot of character in bouncing back from one of the worst series. I wouldn't even say games. One of the worst series, and it wasn't even a whole series, had to have been in the history of the Steelers and maybe the history of the NFL for an offensive lineman. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that. A guy gets inserted into a game for the guy in front of him was healthy, like he just was part of a rotation, gets inserted into a game and single-handedly detonates a drive with three penalties. It was a disaster. And he came back and played well, I thought. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a connoisseur of offensive line play. Let's put it this way, though. We all know when they stink in a game, and he didn't stink. In fact, he must have been pretty good in the second half, because as I watched every play again early this morning, they were pushing people around, and that includes him. Now, Romo identified Broderick Jones early in the game as having missed an assignment that led to a very negative play. But other than that, I'm with you. When they're not talking about you, you're probably doing something right. And on the other side, you had Joe Alt. Did you notice he has a tiny little head?
Yeah, control Alt and delete, TJ Watt said. Goodbye.
Well, no, that's funny you say that, because that was the line they used as the little header for their box on Alt. Control Alt Delete against Max Crosby and I forget who, two other good pass rushers that he held without a sack. He couldn't handle TJ Watt. Could not handle him, and it showed late in the game.
And that Bills score was 47-10, by the way.
47. Okay. He was getting help from everybody on various plays, and whenever he went one on one, especially in the second half, Watt dominated him. Let's get this straight. TJ Watt's the best defensive player in the league. He's the best edge rusher in the league. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year. It was a lifetime achievement award for Myles Garrett. That's what it was. There's nobody like him. Garrett is great. Max Crosby's great. There's others out there. Micah Parsons is sort of in a different category because he's not just strictly an edge rusher. But TJ Watt's the best in the league.
What do you think of my prediction?
They destroyed that kid when he went one-on-one in the second half, just destroyed him.
He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year and also break the all-time sack record this year. Three sacks through three games. I mean, he's not on the pace to do it, but very well possible.
Next.
Here is Patrick in Glassport.
Hello,
hey,
Patrick.
Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to, real quick about Justin Fields. Do you think with Tomlin, the way he feels about him and having Russell on the side, on the sideline, is like kind of like a fire up under his ass, under Fields' butt to play better, you think?
Well, not necessarily. I don't think that hurts, but I think if it was just Kyle Williams as the backup, for example, I think you'd probably see the same level of performance from Justin Fields. Like, I'm not sure I buy into those kinds of theories. Bob was suggesting a couple weeks ago that Najee Harris is extra motivated and it has showed in his play in a contract year. Najee Harris has run like a complete maniac for his whole career and continues to do so. Like, how much harder can Najee Harris run than he already did last year and the year before? How much harder? There's nothing left to give. The guy leaves his heart and soul on the field every single week. And I'll tell you this again, limitless wonder. I think that the Steelers should buck tradition. Wait to see if Najee is still healthy in about 5 weeks and sign him to a contract extension, a celebratory contract extension toward the end of the year. They don't sign players other than quarterbacks during seasons. They should do it here for what this guy, for how this guy approaches his job. And if anybody else in the future were ever to say, oh, you made an exception for Najee, what about me? They simply say, you're not Najee.
What if it's Justin Fields?
He's a quarterback, so it wouldn't be an exception. Next.
Here is Bill in Cranberry.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm pretty excited about the Steelers, but I can't get overboard. I've gone through too much. Last year, we thought Kenny Pickett was Johnny Unitas reincarnated. This year, we thought the Pirates had this knockout starting pitching staff that, except for Paul Skeens, fell apart at the end of the year. Penguins didn't make it last year.
I hear you. I do hear you.
By week.
What's your first name again?
Bill.
Phil?
Bill? B-I-L-L.
Bill. I completely understand. You've been hurt, Bill, and it's tough to come back and love again when you've been hurt. Have you considered perhaps a little bit of therapy?
Unchain my heart. I get it every Sunday when I watch them, and they do good. I was impressed with Fields. He looked so good. His passes were like rockets. They were right on the money.
Yeah.
He stood in the pocket like, you know, a man in charge.
Yeah.
The guys they got this year, like Peyton Wilson and, you know, the new center and stuff. Like, these guys really look like they're ready to go.
It's fun, right?
Rookies.
Maybe we can just enjoy it for what it is right now, Bill, and I appreciate the call. Maybe just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the present. That's why they call it a gift. It's the present, city limits.
It's and, a gift but that keeps on giving.
Listen, I do understand. I do understand it's actually true when you've been damaged like this around here in recent years with false hope and with you know, we've been talking about how these are some of the darkest times in Pittsburgh sports history with all the losing that's gone on and the disappointments and things like that. Maybe, though, just enjoy it and try to put aside, recent hurts, recent horrors, and enjoy the next game, because you know what? The next game's going to be good too. I think they're going to destroy the Colts. I think Anthony Richardson is in a lot of trouble here, so maybe if we can just enjoy the moment, I think that would be good. Coming up, the final Derek Shelton show of the season. Lots of things to ask the Pirates manager. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Mike Tomlin at noon should be interesting. Oh, the injury. Najee himself was reported to be in a sling yesterday. Did you see that story, Limits?
Yeah, that's definitely one to monitor, especially with Jaylen Warren and the infrequent amount of time that they've used him, especially over the last couple of weeks.
Clearly,
he only had, what, four carries last game?
Yeah, clearly
game?
He's not right, no. Jaylen Warren. There's no question about that. So that would be an issue if Najee is also banged up here. But you'll hear the Steelers coach at noon and Derek Shelton next as we wrap up this season. What does he make of the season? What did he think was the biggest positive and negative development? And where does he and they go from here? This should be very interesting. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 75 today, but also a 75% chance of rain. We're also later in the show, going to replay a segment from yesterday that was absolutely incrunculent. It was Bob Pompeiani just trying to sort of throw out there very offhandedly, very off the cuff, that he had dinner with Tony Romo and company the Saturday night before the game. He's sitting across from a man called the Savvy Old News Hound. That's me. And a Savvy Young News Hound. That's him. And we immediately went back to that as Bob tried to talk football.
And Bob thought that we would not even inquire about it.
Right.
He thought it would just be a little footnote that would sneak through and nobody
right.
would have to even wonder.
Footnote is a great word. Did you still have to use footnotes on your college papers? City Limits, do they still exist?
I think there was one paper I had to,
yeah.
but that was all.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.